Pete Salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, it's Wednesday morning already. I'm telling you, time does fly. God bless you. Thanks for being with us back in studio today. Apologize for the technical difficulties that we had yesterday. It wasn't anybody's fault but my own. I normally, when I go on the road like that, sometimes I take the computer with me, but I knew that the show that we were going to be doing was going to be done, a lot of it being done from the streets. So I thought, well, I'm not going to take my computer. I'll just use my trusty old cell phone. And for some reason, my trusty old cell phone yesterday, I couldn't get any audio to play. So it wasn't Jared's fault or Sarge's fault or anybody's fault. It just was one of those things that happened. I thought we had a powerful, powerful show. And Jared, what I'm thinking right now, I want you to, I didn't send you this morning. Pull up that 4-minute clip yesterday from Rusty Thomas preaching, if you can, to the pastors. I want to kind of move into that a little bit here this morning, if I can. So Michelle and I had kind of a whirlwind tour yesterday. We drove on Monday night. We drove down to Louisville, spent the night in Louisville, Kentucky, because yesterday, 10 of our friends were going before the judge in regards to them laying down their lives at the abortion clinic. They went down, actually sat in front of the door. They were arrested, charged. Well, yesterday was what they call a pretrial hearing, and they're charged only with misdemeanor trespassing. Excuse me. The lowest that you can get. I mean, it's like a $50 fine, you know? So some of them, David Atkins flew in from Washington, stayed up out by Seattle. He flew in for his trial yesterday. We had guys come from all across America to go there for their trial. And they go in there and go into the courtroom. And what happens? $50 fine, whatever. You know, somebody says, well, we'll pay $100. We'll be out here. No. They continue it. They continue the case. September 19th, they have to all come back again. What is going on with our court system? I'm going to talk about that here in a minute. But we had a great time there. Michelle and I were honored to be down there and to be able to chronicle, I think that's the word to use, chronicle what was going on before and after and during the trial. Trial was only about 10 minutes. A couple things really popped out at me yesterday, and I want to veer in on some of those today. But before I do, Sarge, any updates or anything, buddy, that I thank God for Sarge, Kevin, and for Jared, and for Chad, and for Gary, and for Rob, and these guys that are working behind the scenes, because I get to do what I think the Lord's called me to do. I get to go and stand and speak and don't have to worry about all this behind the stuff. See, that's one of the reasons I think at this point really Pass the Salt Ministries, Salt and Light Brigades, have really been kind of hindered, is because in a lot of ways, I've been a one-trick pony, you know. I'm trying to do it all. And some of it's not in my gifting. It's not in my gifting. And I really think that we ought to be farther ahead than we are. So I just thank God every day that Jared and Sarge and these guys have come in and jumped on board and are helping us build this thing called the Salt and Light Brigade. So a lot of times people contact me for information. I can't give you the information. I really don't know. And so I'll forward your email to Sarge. So if you get an email, a response from Sarge, it's not because I didn't read it. It's just because, boom, you answer this one, Sarge. I don't know. So, Sarge, anything at all, any updates at this point?
No, just for everyone, please check the events calendar on Coach Dave Live. We're trying to add everything to the events on where you are and what we're doing. We still got October 26th up in Marshfield, Wisconsin, to break in Rob Pugh's new facility. And then that weekend mm-hmm. in Milwaukee for the Mega Boot Camp. So that's on our radar screen. Where, of course, we're going to be out at Boise for the Hear the Watchman. I think it's pretty close to sold out. I'm not sure if you can still get a ticket or not. I suppose you can go online to the hearthewatchman.com to see if you can get a ticket. But any of us that are out there, make sure you let me know that you're going. Because we like to support Mike Kerr and his group during the event. And it's simply send me an email at saltbrigade@gmail.com. Let me know that you're coming. Thanks.
Awesome. Thanks, Sarge. I got a new cord today, so I'm not in jail like I was, but this thing keeps catching a hold of something behind me as well. Folks, we're really got our eyes. So we were going to go to Washington, D.C. today. I was going to leave at noon today, go to Washington, D.C. for a meeting in Mitch McConnell's office. And some of those circumstances changed, and I'm not going to be gone. A group is going, but we were actually going to go and maybe, how do I say this, have a little bit more of a spirited visit with Mitch McConnell than what the average person would. But through a variety of circumstances, we're not going to do it at this time. We have it on the shelf, going to do it later. So for those of you out there been praying for us, and I know there many of them are, thank you for the prayers for yesterday, and thank you for the prayers for today, although you can put those back on the shelf. Pray for blessing, whatever, direction. But we're not going. I'm not going to be going to Washington, D.C. today to be part of that event. I got 1,000 places I want to go today. I really do. I want to. You ought to spend a day at the courtroom. We all, that ought to be something every Christian is forced to do. The pastor ought to say, you can't, pastors ought to say this, you can't go to this church until you've gone and stood outside the courthouse and handed out tracts. Two, go into the abortion clinic and watch what they do to kill babies. Three, go to some type of gay pride event so you get the understanding of the real spirit of that event and human trafficking and everything that goes along with it. Because until we do that, we find ourselves just kind of boxed in and not really getting actively involved with Christianity. And I want to share a little bit about what we saw yesterday down in Louisville at the courthouse. Before I do, I almost forgot. I want to thank, Sarge will know this, Bob and Louise Roy visited with us yesterday. They're faithful Coach Dave Live folks. They follow us every day. They're from the state of Maine. They went clear to Minnesota to visit their daughter, drove back down, dipped all the way down to visit another child in Elkhart, Indiana, then came through Hebron yesterday, and we had dinner with them last night. They bought us dinner. I'm sure they're watching today, and God bless them. You know, Sarge, Bob said something to me that was really, it really went ding. It really hit me. He says, Coach, we sit down and we watch the YouTube, and then we pause it. Whenever you make one of those points where you get into the Bible and you start reading from the Bible, we listen to that part and then we pause it. We stop the YouTube video and we get our Bibles and we read and we discuss it. I thought, man, what a powerful thing to do. Remember always talking about your downline? What a powerful thing to do. Some guys won't have their own Bible studies because they don't feel adequate to be able to do it. Bob opened my eyes to that. Just play something that we've, take your YouTube and play a little 10-minute segment that you've watched, maybe just the scripture part of it, and play what we have to say here and the way we discuss it and read it, and boom, shut it off. And then say, hey, okay, what do you think? What do you think? And it's like Bob said, I had Bob on this morning. It's like Bob said yesterday, man, oh, man. Just when you start reading the Bible and you just think, this is not this hard stuff we've been taught. So anyway, God bless Bob. We'll see him for a cup of coffee later on this morning before he heads back to Maine. That was a connection through Sarge up in Maine. I think Bob would attest to this. We're just regular folk. Michelle and I, just regular folk. And we were honored to be able to take out. I didn't eat any ice cream. Everybody had some, but I didn't. Because I don't know why I didn't. We went to courthouse yesterday. And you know, you want to find lost people? Go to the courthouse. Go to the courthouse. And I'll tell you something else. Our court system is so wicked. Sorry, Roger. Any other attorneys that might be in here. This court system is so stinking wicked. You know what I saw yesterday? The people are lining up outside the door literally to go into court. Now, I want you to ask yourself this. What are they doing? What have they done to be in court, probably? My wife pointed out these are just the lowlifes of the world to begin with. It's one thing if they've raped somebody, they've murdered somebody, or it's theft or something, but that's probably not what they're there for. They're probably there for some drug offense, or they're probably there because, at least with the court that we were at yesterday, maybe they did a trespass. They're just kind of little. I understand crime and punishment, okay? I understand. But you know what? I was talking to my buddy Johnny Burkeen. We're just standing there, and you know what it is? It's a system where you pass through, and you go into that courtroom, and some guy's sitting up in the courtroom. They have paper. Michelle said it's just paper. They don't even care who you are. Here comes your folder, and the judge looks at your folder, and the prosecutor looks at your folder, And see, the job of the prosecutor, by the way, Roger, is not to put people in jail. The job of the prosecutor is to put justice, right? Very hard to find justice. The Lord is angry that there's no justice in the court. There isn't. So the judge sits up there and he looks at your firearm. Michelle said he's looking at the computer. It's a computer screen with all your charges and everything in front of him. And just one with after another, they run them through, they run them through, they run them through. And you know what they do? Come on, I'll be honest with you. They charge you for five different things. They get you a plea bargain down to one. And then they give you a $350 fine. It's just a money-making operation. So if I'm in there, let's say those 10 guys that were in there yesterday for trespassing at the abortion clinic. I mean, is that crazy? That abortion clinic gets federal funding. How can you trespass on a place that you pay for? Like trespassing in a public school. What's a public school? How can you trespass in a public school? So anyway, those 10 people, the reality of it is nobody cared what they did. Here's all they wanted to do. They want to say, okay, $150 here, $150 there, $150 there. By the way, lawyer, $500, pay lawyer, $500, you pay the court, $150, we let you go. Don't do it again. Now I'm going to ask you something. What happens on $150 that you pay, that $150 fine? Who gets that? It would seem to me that if you trespassed on my property and you went to court for it and the judge found you guilty of trespass, help me out here. Shouldn't that $150 go to me, the guy who was trespassed against? Why does the court system get the $150? Because it's a big money game. It's like Johnny pointed out to me yesterday. People go stand in line to go into that court. They have the judge tell them how much money they owe so they can go home. That is, in fact, the court system. So I got thinking about this one. Sorry, Roger, you could probably get in there. I don't want you to have to say anything, get in trouble with that bar system. They'll come out there knocking on your door and try to put you out of business if you say anything bad about the bar system. But I'm not afraid to say anything. Jared, first thing I got up there, stick up there. This is out of the Cleveland Plain Dealer. I found this morning. It's called court costs. So here you are. You find you've given a $250 fine and court costs of $860. That's what it is. I mean, that's what it is. You got to pay to go to court. What are our taxes for? Don't they hire a judge? And doesn't a judge have a budget? And doesn't he hire staff? Can you explain to me how it can possibly you can get justice from a court system when the justice is making money off of you being there? So I said, well, what are court costs made for? Well, I looked around. I found this thing on the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Let's shoot that up there, Jared. Just I want you to think about this. We're going to move on. We're going to move on to some more holy and righteous stuff. Okay, here are the examples of the costs you pay in Northeast Ohio for court costs. Number one, computers. Offenders in Geauga County pay $30 in special fees in their court costs, $10 for improving computers, and $20 for building and special projects. The $20 special projects fee has been imposed since 2007, said the circuit courts. It generates about $200,000 a year and has been tapped to remodel the courtroom, pay for security. And what the heck are we paying our tax dollars for? And then you go in there and they collect $200,000. Everybody who goes into court pays a $30 fee, and this is what it goes for. Everybody who goes in there, okay? That's your court cost. Two, Cuyahoga County Regional Enterprise Data Sharing System. Anyone who receives a ticket for a violation, a moving violation, $5 for this enterprise sharing thing. What's it do? Just makes it easy for the government to share information with each other. Cuyahoga County says its system supports more than 70 law enforcement and criminal justice service agencies across Cuyahoga County and surrounding counties. Really? Really? That's, I don't know about you, do. Sometimes you just shuffle money in your budget, right? Rob from Peter to pay Paul. We're such nips. We are. I don't even know what a nip is, but we're what we are. Three, court costs. Everybody goes to court. You pay building upgrades and new bill. I thought we just paid $30 in that last one. Stowe's Municipal Court, $20 special fees, goes toward paying off the mortgage on the $9 million bill. You can't make this stuff up. Akron Municipal Court has set aside money for its special project fee. They'll pay for a new courthouse. The fee was raised from $10 to $45 in January. You go speeding. No wonder they want you in court. No wonder they want to charge you and get you in court. Look what they get in your pocket. Look at this. Roger's here. I bet this, Roger. I don't know. I bet if I'm found innocent, I still have to pay court costs. I'll bet. I don't know. I bet I do. And see, we think we got a victory. And we walk out, oh, just court costs. You're innocent. Just pay court costs. Oh, yeah, $880. Legal conferences. How about this? Your court costs go to training and education of judges. Most judges attend conferences in Ohio, but a few municipal court judges have used special project fees to travel as far as Hawaii. You go speeding, you're sending a judge to Hawaii on vacation. Look, is this amazing? Huh? Municipal judge bills public more than $50,000 a conference. Hey, these are court costs. Court costs. And number five, of course, indigent defense costs and enforcing drug laws. There they are. There's your war on drugs. There you are. $39 goes to that. And it's all spelled out for you. $10 basic course, $10, $3 computer fee, $10 computer court computerized, whatever. Court costs $39, $5 for facilities management fund, $10 for an indigent driver alcohol treatment, $20 for indigent defense supply fund, $10 for all these indigents. I want to be an indigent, I guess. No, I don't, Lord. No, I don't. Victims of crime get $9. Crime Stoppers gets $1. Crisis Chris Fee gets $5. See, folks, they are playing us for fools. You know you are in trouble when the government makes money off of lawbreaking. Lawbreaking. If I trespass and they give me a $250 fine, that should go to the guy whose property I trespassed on. But it doesn't. It goes to the courts. And the courts not only get that $250, they get $180 more for court fees. Oh my goodness. Roger, am I missing something here? Say something nice. I don't want the Bar Association. Heaven forbid they'd come down on top of it as righteous as they are. Am I missing something here, Rog? I don't even know if Roger's with us today. I just assumed that he was. Or probably since I'm talking about, probably since I got talking about this stuff, he wants to lay low, not make anybody mad. To make anybody mad besides me? Huh? Make anybody mad?
Hey, I'll make somebody mad. First of all,
go ahead, Vince.
You know the bar is the British Accreditation Register.
I do.
It's a foreign entity, and I guess we're still paying obeisance to it. All right.
Yep, that's right. And you know what, Vince? We saw yesterday, I wish I could get Michelle down here. Standing outside that courthouse, what an experience. All the indigents come. They're all indigent. They're all indigent. They're marijuana charges and spitting on the sidewalk charges. Think of the money they're making, raking in as they're doing it. See, it's amazing. And Michelle and I are out to say, well, there comes a lawyer. 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 They all dress the same. They all look the same. It's like they put on a lawyer uniform. It's like pastors put on pastors' uniforms. Coaches put on coaches' uniforms. School teachers put on school teachers' uniforms. Lawyers put on lawyer uniforms. It's like, my goodness. We read the other day that makes the Lord mad that there is no justice. No wonder. No wonder. We're in the mess we're in. Okay, I'm going to shift off of that. I just needed to clear my own conscience and say that our legal system, our justice system, is an injustice system. And evidently, Roger doesn't want to weigh in on that. Putting a spotlight on you, Roger. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians. Can we do that real quick, Jared? I don't know if I put that. I don't think I put it on the link. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10. Oh, I got so much to share with you. I'm going to share that. I didn't get a chance yesterday to comment after that video with Rusty Thomas. I'm going to play that again this morning because I want to connect some dots where Rusty was preaching to the pastors. Rob Pugh sent me a clip from Life Church. Oh, my goodness. I don't know if we'll have time to play the whole thing. We'll play part of it here in a second. Hey, guys, listen. I want to take you to 2 Corinthians. Do you know this? Now, hey, Bob and Louise, everybody, you better be sitting down now because I'm going to open your eyes up to another one that most people don't want to hear. I got in trouble over this one a few months ago, longer than that ago. You know you don't have to sin. You know you don't have to sin. You know that every sin you commit is a sin that you commit by choice. You choose to do it. Right here, sitting here right now in front of this computer, if I wanted to, I could log on and look at some porn. I could do it. I could blame the devil. I could blame whatever, but it would be my choice whether I hit that button or not. I could get in my car and I could drive 900 miles an hour. I couldn't go that fast. I could go 100 miles an hour through a 35 mile per hour zone. Nobody made me do that. That was a choice that I made. And if we're prisoners to sin, if we are prisoners to sin, then why did Christ even die on the cross? And I made him mad, as I said a few months ago, when I said, hey, I haven't sinned yet today. Sarge, I'm saying that right now. I don't think I've sinned yet today. I'm thinking of everything I could have done. Not yet. I've been up about 3 hours. I don't think I've committed one sin. And it's going to be my intention to not sin. Well, see, we don't even teach that possibility in church anymore. We teach in church that we all sin, and God's just sitting there, and he can't wait to forgive us. Don't worry about it. He'll forgive you. No. He will forgive you, but you don't have to sin. I'm in 1 Corinthians. I'm going to prove that to you here in a minute. Let's see, Jared, where do I want to start? 13, I think, is where I'm heading. Make sure I'm in the right place. Yes, okay. Oh, I got to read this one. Look at this. 7. Go to 7, Jared. Because I want people, I use this a lot. Jared, I got you in the wrong spot, I think. I'm in 1 Corinthians. Where am I? How did I do? I'm in 9, Jared. Go back to 9. I'm sorry. I want to show this in 9. I'm sorry. I just popped out at me, so I always share when it pops at me. Look at this. I want to thank all of you who supported our trip yesterday to Louisville, those who support everywhere that we go and what we do. I want you to see this. Look at this, verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 9. Who goes to war at any time at his own expenses? We make our soldiers pay their way to fight. Who planteth a vineyard and doesn't eat the fruit thereof? Or who feeds a flock and doesn't eat some of the milk from that flock? So when we say we need help to take people, it's based on this. Go to 10 then, Jared. I'm sorry. Let's go to 10. I don't know how I got messed up on you. Verse 5. Start here. There we go. Hey, guys, here's the theme right now. You don't have to sin. You don't have to sin. And remember, to him who knows to do good and not to do it, to him it is sin. So to know that you don't have to look at porn and to continue to look at it, it's sin. You don't have to do that. Okay? You don't have to do it. You don't have to. Choose to. Choose to overeat? You don't have to. You choose to. Verse 5, but many of them, oh, man, see, you got to start. Let's go to 1. I got to get you there. I got to stay with me. Start at number 1, Jared. Moreover, brothers, I would not that you should be ignorant. Remember, ignorant means to ignore truth. Ignorant doesn't mean you don't know it. Ignorant means you ignore it. Ignore, that's the root word. What have you not be ignorant? How that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and they all ate the same spiritual meat. They all drank the same spiritual drink, but they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. Ooh, how many of them was that he's not well pleased? Many. With many of them, God was not well pleased. Wow. For they were overthrown in the wilderness. Boy, I preach right there. A lot of us being overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. What are we not supposed to lust after? Evil things. So lusting after an evil thing. See, with lust, Bible says, when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. It brings forth a little sin, baby. Lust does. Oh, Lord, bless me here. Now, these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Verse 7. Neither be ye idolaters, as some of them were. And as this is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. And Lord, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. 23,000 of them fell in one day as judgment. Verse 9, neither let us tempt Christ. What? Yep, what it says right there. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed as serpents. What's tempting Christ? Well, Jesus, I know you'll forgive me for this. I call it premeditated sin. Lord, I don't really want to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway, and I just pray that you forgive me after I do it. That's tempting Christ. That ain't a very smart thing to do. And they were destroyed of serpents. Interesting word, isn't it? Destroyed of serpents. Hang with me. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, complained, griped, moaned, never destroyed the destroyer. Now, all of these things happened unto them as an example for us. And they are written for our admonition on whom the ends of the world are come. Said all these guys, when they sinned, they paid this price. I'm writing it to you to warn you. It's an admonition. Don't be like that. Wow. Verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Watch. For there is no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, and he will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Do they teach you that in your church? Stop sinning. You have victory over sin. Do they teach you that in the church? Do they teach that at that courthouse I was at yesterday? Do they teach it in our public schools? You know the fruit of our public schools was standing outside that courthouse yesterday. Do we know that? Do we know that the money changers are inside that courtroom playing the rest of us for fools, taking money out of our pockets because we refuse to not sin anymore? And is there ever a direction that's not sin? Do people know how to not sin? Of course they don't know. They don't know how. Because we've taught all about the grace of God without the judgment of God. There is no temptation. Anything you want to do today that is wrong is totally and completely a choice. Totally. And you have the ability to say no to it, or Jesus lied. And I don't think Jesus lied. Anybody want to weigh in there? Because I'm gonna mosey down the road here in a different direction. That's our scripture for today. There's no temptation. Because I got a video to play. Man, oh man. I don't know if it's so long. I'll get to it here in a minute. Get here in a minute.
Praise hey, Dave. Dave, yeah, Vince. Just wanted to say in answer to your question, no, that would trigger too many sinners, apparently.
Evidently it would. Yeah. Evidently would. And wouldn't it? See, when we went there, Vince, when we went to that courthouse, I'm just looking around and said, these aren't criminals. These are sinners. These people are sins. Sinners. And somebody's determined it to be a crime, so they have to go to court. And I don't know if you saw my Facebook page. My wife did a great job yesterday. I Facebook Live'd it. She came down and said, when she was in that courtroom, and everybody walks in and they're before the judge and the papers are over. It's exactly right out of the scriptures. Right out of the scriptures of the great white throne judgment. When the books are open, the judge is sitting there and the prosecuting attorney is sitting there. Michelle said, man, oh man, those guys, when they stood before that judge and he held their life and death seemingly in his own hand. Ability to say yes or no. Nobody's telling them stop sinning. Just stop sinning. And then she led it into the idea that, boy, we're all going to stand before God and give an account for whether we're guilty or not. We stand before the Lord. We're all going to be found guilty. We're all going to be found guilty. But if we receive Jesus as our Savior, we're guilty but forgiven. See, you got to be very careful, folks, about premeditated sin. That's tempting the Lord. That's a sin of presumption. Oh, well, I'll do this and I'll get away with it. And the Lord will forgive me. I'm going to tell you this. I've had the experience. Every time you sit down in front of a computer and a porn, something tantalizing, fleshly appears for you, the urge is to click. I don't care who you are, the urge is to click on it. But there's the moment whether Jesus is alive in your life or isn't. Because if he's alive in your life, he'll say, don't click on that. Delete it. Run! Flee immorality. If it's not possible, why would he teach us to do that? Do our churches teach us that? Yeah, teach us that. They don't teach us. This is a good time to play this thing. This is fairly long, but guys, I think this is really what's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to pick on Life Church again, okay? Jared, I'm trying to get my computer power up over here so I can see which one it is. I don't want to beat up on Life Church. But somebody from AHA, which is Abolish Human Abortion, called Life Church. Evidently, they saw the video, and they called Life Church. Jared, it's the third one down. It says AHA on the phone with Life Church. Folks, listen. I want you to listen right here. This lasts about 13 minutes, although I may not play the thing. Play the whole time. Somebody from Abolish Human Abortion calls Life Church and asks them, well, you'll hear it. Go ahead and play that, Jared. I thank Rob Pugh for bringing this to my attention.
Thank you for calling Life Church. This is Lisa. How may I help you?
Hi, Lisa. I am calling. I have a question I hope you can help me with about life groups.
I hope I have the answer.
Okay, you guys...
I love it when I have the answer.
Well, I'm counting on you having the answer or somebody having
but
the answer.
But you know, if I don't have the answer, I seek out the answer. So that's why they let me answer the phone.
And no, that's the important thing, seeking out the answers to these questions. It's pretty good question, so... this is the Life Church on Northwest Expressway, right? I got the right number. Okay. Do y'all have a list of the life groups currently meeting in that area?
Yes.
I'm looking for something in particular. I'm looking for maybe groups that kind of like are helping out, loving their neighbor, helping in the community, that sort of thing.
Okay.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. Are you looking to join one, or are you? What's the reasoning?
Just to know about like what's offered, what's kind of available. Like, I was interested in maybe looking into. And I've heard a rumor, I guess, that there may be a life group dealing with sex trafficking.
Yes, we do. It's called Eve. It stands for something, but I can't remember.
Okay, I'll type it down.
EBE.
I'll type it down.
But
look it up.
I don't know if they have men in that group or not, though.
Well, I mean, I could help out with financial.
Yeah. Sort of thing. Well, go ahead. Sorry.
Do you have any life groups that are dealing with abortion or crisis pregnancies?
Okay, I don't think we have anything like that, but what I'm going to do is have you talk to Jerry, because she actually would more likely...
talk to who?
No, Jerry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she is kind of head of life.
Jerry, go ahead about a minute.
I'm going to transfer
you over. Let's get to Jerry here.
Jerry, do you have time to take a phone call?
Jerry's going to come
in. We work with homeless people life group. Mm-hmm. But she will know what the...
War Acres area.
There you go.
Just the ones for Northwest.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, each campus is going to have their own... and you can like... Okay, I can give you a website. I think it's findalifegroup.tv.
Findalifegroup.tv?
I'm typing it in to see if I'm telling you that right. So you can do a search that way. However, like I said, talking to Jerry is going to be even better than that.
Okay.
Because she, like I said, it could be a men's life group.
She would know, for instance, like if there was a life group doing something with crisis pregnancies that even if they weren't called that, like if they weren't listed as that,
yes.
Okay, here comes Jerry.
Okay, I'm going to transfer you to Jerry.
All right.
Okay. Hold on.
Thank you very much.
This is the expert in the life groups now. Notice, by the way, two women so far. I love women.
Thank you. Life Church, this is Jerry.
Hi. Thank you for taking my phone call.
Yeah, no problem.
I was just talking to someone else, and they said you're the expert on...
Oh, I don't know about expert, but...
you're the person who knows what's going on in all the life groups-ish, to the best of your knowledge.
Yes, I try.
Okay. Well, then I am talking to the right person. I'm trying to... I don't go to Life Church right now. I've never been to Life Church except for I've watched, you know, sermons and stuff online, and...
Mm-hmm.
I live in Norman, and I've come down to the War Acres area a few times with some guys that are trying to do sort of ministry work at the abortion clinic there. I think it's on, I can't remember, 6112 street there in War Acres. This is like an abortion clinic in War Acres, and we've been going out there to try to, like, you know, tell women that we'll help them with financial assistance, or, you know, just preach the gospel to them and try to hold them back from the slaughter and all that kind of stuff. And I was thinking, well, I was wondering if Life Church seems like it's a pretty big church. If y'all had a life group in the area that was sort of looking at maybe abortion, that particular clinic, or maybe even just like high schools or crisis pregnancies, anything. I don't know. Anything in that general area.
We don't. We recently had someone who wanted to start a pro-life life group, and we really advised against that because it was a little bit political in nature and kind of polarizing, because we have a lot of women who are coming through our doors who have been through that, and we didn't want it to be, we want life groups to be about spiritual growth and connection and community and doing life together. And so we don't. I mean, how we do missions here at Life Church is we have mission partners that we work with, and we have people that come to us a lot all the time that are passionate about many things, and we think that that's great because that's the vision that God's given you for your life. And so, and we encourage those people to pursue that with, full on abandon, that they want it, whatever they want to do, to lead people in that way, in the way God's called them here at Life Church. And we partner with specific agencies, and we keep that number pretty low because we feel like we can do a few things well, but we can't do multiple things well.
But
And so
yeah,
our
I understand
really,
that, and I'm not looking for like a political one. I mean, I
Oh
just
no, I was
it's
just kind of telling you where we were coming from, and that one, we had a life group who wanted to step up and do something, and their
yeah.
heart was totally in the right place.
Oh, the so okay, it was a their heart was in the right place, but the life group's not really meant for that sort of thing. Y'all would well, I guess I'm just trying to find something in the area. There's the Catholics. I'm not trying to sound anti-Catholic here or anything. There are some Catholics that are out there that are trying to help these women, praying and that sort of thing. But as far as like reaching out to try to love, I mean, I would say love our preborn neighbors and that sort of deal. And you're right. I think a lot of the women who are coming to your church and in and out of the doors and stuff would be among that class of people who are, that abortion's a temptation, and speaking out boldly against it, I think it would be something that Life Church would do. So maybe if you could tell me the agencies or who you'd partner with.
I don't. The agencies we partner with all have to do with mentoring mostly. We partner with the Sparrow Project, and that has to do with refugees that are here, and mobilizing the church to help people like refugees and the underserved. We partner
Mercy
with the
Ministry.
Mentoring Project. Two Lakes and Lyrewood Community are some of what we do a lot with. The Novo Project, or Novo, and
Oh, yeah, I've heard of it.
And that's what we focus our energy, that's where we put our energy
Does
in,
that end up going into, do y'all do some stuff with the sex trafficking?
No, Novo is after school Bible clubs.
Well, oh, I mean, yeah, I know what that is. I was just wondering if there's also something going on that y'all, if you partnered with an agency that looked at the sex trafficking issue in Oklahoma, or if was that a life group? I'm trying to figure out
We
'cause I might.
don't. Oath is, we don't po none of our campuses partner with Oath, but Oath is kind of the Oklahoma Against Trafficking Humans. That's the agency here in Oklahoma that deals with sex trafficking, but none of our life churches partner with Oath.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that's fine. A friend of mine, he did say that there was a sex trafficking or a life group that was trying to look at sex trafficking, but it probably wasn't affiliated with that agency. It's probably just like a life group.
And that may be a life group that where people are passionate about, getting involved with things in their community like Oath, and that would be, as long as there's spiritual growth going on. But something like the abortion topic, yes, just as Christians, we believe that abortion is wrong. But sometimes some of us take a different stance on how we express that, and it's through relationship instead of just coming out boldly saying you're sinning, and it's through building relationships with women to help them value, because I've never walked in those shoes, and help them value the life inside of them.
So Life Church is a pro-life church, but not a sort of you don't have a position like abortion is sin type thing.
It's not something we really talk. I mean, it's not something that we talk about from the stage.
From the stage.
As Christians, we believe that. Everyone, because that can be such a political issue, we avoid that topic, like expressing that to people in church, because everybody, everybody's entitled to their own opinions, political and otherwise, even on staff here.
I'm actually kind of an apolitical person. Sorry, every time you say political, I'm just wondering, is there a policy, like that's such a sensitive issue, we don't really bring it up? I mean, politics.
Yeah.
I agree that, churches, shouldn't be telling people who to vote for, but
I think they should.
Outside of that area, I'm just, I come from, a group that's really seeing, a lot of women are having abortions. It is everywhere. But it's not something y'all don't have a position on, but it's not something that you kind of as you say, on the stage or from the stage or pulpit or whatever.
I mean, I've gone to Life Church for a long time and I've never heard Pastor Craig talk about abortion.
Just to be honest, that's a little, I guess that affects me a little bit. I mean, how do you prevent it if you say anything?
Well, that's really something that, because the way that we are at Life Church is that we want to bring in those people that know nothing about Christ, and it's through the love of Christ that's going to lead them to repentance, not us. And so me standing or anyone standing from stage or standing from anywhere telling someone that something's wrong is not going to change their mind and is not the way to win people over. In our opinion, we win them over through the love, and the love of Christ wins them over. We share the gospel, and once they know the Savior, His Holy Spirit leads them to repentance, not anything that we can say.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree that the abortion issue, like any sin issue, is a gospel issue, and people who know Christ and follow Christ will not, abort their children. They probably won't be in the position as often to do that.
Well, I don't know. I might have to disagree with you on that one. We all sin, and it's an equal sin in God's eyes. And I have friends that are Christ followers who've made the mistake before and have walked into a clinic. And I mean, I had a girl in my life group who grew up in the church, strong believer, and she had an abortion. So it's not just because you're a Christian you won't have an abortion.
Well, no, I mean, I'm saying maybe not just someone who calls herself a Christian or says, "Hey, I'm a Christian," but more like what I mean is like someone who's like walking and following Christ and abiding in Him. I mean, like, every abortion, it's like killing your neighbor and an image bearer of God. So it's kind of a violation of the first and second two commandments. So, I mean, I guess when I mean Christian, I don't just mean, you said devout. I mean, maybe devout. I don't want to assume. I definitely have seen the stats that people who get abortions, will say,
listen to this response.
Christian, born again. I know that that's to be true.
Yeah.
But I'm a little concerned about. Like, I think that you're right that the Holy Spirit brings conviction, but I'm not really afraid to, I guess, call abortion sin and say that the answer is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think the answer is always Christ. It's the answer, and I'm not any, like, me gossiping is no worse than someone that has an abortion, and so, that it's all sin in Christ's eyes.
Except for when you gossip, you're not killing an image bearer.
Okay, Jared, you can cut it off there. This goes on for a few, she says right here, right, but in God's eyes, sin is sin. And we all are fallen short. We've all fallen short. We have our sin, and I could have fully devoted follower of Christ who walks in here, and they go through something, and they go have an abortion. I think she goes on to say, You know, who are we to judge? Yada 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 yada. So there we are, folks. This is what we are fighting against. It's not something that we preach about from the stage. It's just not. George, out there in your neighborhood, man. This is what we're fighting against.
Go ahead, George. It's sickening. It's you know, that's why these big mega churches, I haven't seen any that will confront this sin, and yet our culture is going to hell in a handbasket, and they act like it's not their responsibility. But you know, they're so slick, aren't they, in how they do it? They use all the Christian ease and all the Christian language. I mean, they're very slick how they do it, in my opinion.
But do you guys really believe that gossiping is the same as killing a baby? Now, hey guys, this is another area that we are so stinking stupid. Understand this. Every sin will send you to hell, but you don't go to hell because you sin. You go to hell because you are an unrepentant sinner who has not received the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And even in the court of law, which I was just at yesterday, there are different degrees of crimes. You have first degree murder. You have manslaughter, second degree manslaughter, third degree manslaughter. Even in the eyes of an evil court system, not all crimes are the same. How can we be preaching from our pulpits that all sins are equal? How can? Oh my goodness!
Hey,
anybody see them? Let go, Larry. Somebody help me.
You know, I guess the Bible lied again when it talks about God's going to spew out the ones that are lukewarm. Now, lukewarm means the stove has been turned on. It just hasn't got up to the temperature it's supposed to get to.
Or cooled down, one or the other,
God's
right?
God's going to spew those people out. I saw God vomiting as that woman was sliding by the answers.
Amen, amen, amen. Guys, do you understand the misteaching again? All sins are not the same. All sins are a violation of God's law, but not all sins are the same. Murder is a capital offense, okay? Murder is. Stealing's not a capital offense. Lying's not a capital offense. In the eyes of the Lord, there are different degrees of evil. Please tell me you understand that, church, and understand that it's not your sin that sends you to hell. It is your sinful condition, your unrepentant sinful condition that you've not asked Jesus' blood to cover your sins. That's how you go. It's not your behavior that sends you to hell. It is the condition in which you've been born. You are born on your way to hell. That's why you have to be born again. Why is this message so hard to be preached from our pulpits? That's why our churches are filled. I can tell you this yesterday, when we're standing in line with all of those people who are going in there in that courtroom, I'm going to tell you this, folks. They know Jesus. They know who he is. Many of them probably were churchgoers or raised in church all the way up. They know Jesus. They probably pray to Jesus. Why is there no turning from sin? Why is it we can't see that our behavior is the problem? It's not the devil, although the devil's active. It's not anything. It is our behavior. And why will we not turn from our wicked ways? And why will we not call certain things wicked and tell people to stop doing that? We got another gospel, man. We got another gospel. We got a forgive, 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 forgive gospel. And those guys go to court. I'm going to tell you something. They go in there and the judge doesn't forgive them. Because the judge wants to get his money out of them. Somebody jump in.
Hey, coach.
Yeah,
coach, you know, coach, that really means if this modern teaching is correct, that means the men like Charles Finney, Jonathan Edwards, those great men of God that would get up and preach against the evils of the day, that helped build our great culture, Christian culture, America. That means our forefathers were wrong. That means they did it wrong, and today we're
They're
doing
hateful,
it right.
George.
But look at the
They're
fruit.
Hateful.
Right. Look at the fruit of what's happening today. It's obvious they're not right today and that our forefathers were the ones that were right.
And it's obvious our churches aren't calling out the sin. What do you think, Vince?
What I think, well, this is, once again, it's too bad it's so late in the show, but the Johnson Amendment, that's the whole thing keeping the churches from actually passing on the proper messages.
That's exactly right. Robert Sellers just texted me and says, Coach, they certainly don't have trouble telling you to tithe. Boy, there is some truth there. They don't have any trouble telling you to give them that filthy lucre. They don't mind doing that. Hey, guys, listen, I'm not trying to attack the local church. I'm not trying to do that. I'm trying to save some of you who are trapped in this other gospel. That's what I'm trying to do. Bob told me last night at Dennis, and my goodness, things that my eyes have been open to. He's approaching 70 years old and stuff that just made sense to me. It just made sense to me. And all of a sudden, boom, now I see and now I understand. See, folks, we have a powerless gospel. We're spreading a powerless gospel, a forgiveness, grace-only gospel. We're not teaching a gospel that you can overcome sin. We're not teaching that. God, help us. And you go to that courthouse, and everybody's lined up. Why are they lined up? Because they're sinning. And they can't stop doing it. And their life's a mess. And we have these people want to pull them into church and give them life groups and have them grow spiritually. How about teaching them that the Holy Spirit gives you the power to not sin? How about just starting there? That'd be pretty important, wouldn't it? Stop mistreating your wife and mistreating your children. Quit lying at work. Quit watching porn. How about if we start there? You might have a better life. Quit doing drugs. Get off alcohol. It's a sin. No, we want to love people. We're all sinners. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Hey, dude, that's true, but I ain't trapped in it anymore. I ain't doing what I used to do. Praise the Lord. Praise the power of the Holy Spirit. I got victory over sin. Oh, I got things I'm still working on. We all do. I'm not perfect, but I can tell you this. If you're a Christian and you're still doing the same stuff that you always used to do when you were a sinner, there's something seriously wrong. There's something seriously wrong. You can go to as many life groups as you want to. You're living a lie, baby. You're living a lie. You're taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain. See, they teach us in church that swearing is taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I hear people get madder over somebody playing golf and they use the GD word. They get madder about that than they do babies being slaughtered. They get madder about somebody using the JC word when they hit a bad drive than they do the fact that little children are being trafficked. We don't get mad that what they're teaching in our schools, the filth that they're teaching for the from the classroom. We don't get mad about that. I just saw one yesterday. Oh, take it easier, Coach. I was going to use it this morning and didn't. They're now teaching. Are you ready for this? They're promoting anal sex in schools. Promoting anal. How to anal sex? We're not mad about that, but don't you swear? Oh, don't you swear? Don't you not tithe? Am I alone this morning? Anybody out there on my team? Our team? Anybody see what I'm trying to say?
Of course, brother. Of
course. No victory. We don't teach victory over sin. We don't teach victory over it. Hey, here's what I'm doing, Vince. Bible says, be angry and sin not. So I'm getting off my chest, brother. I'm saying some things that need to be said. You understand? I ain't sinning. I'm saying what needs to be said.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Come on, somebody else bail in here.
Dave?
Yeah, Rog.
No,
Damn lawyers. Go ahead, Roger.
I was quietly listening, and this lady got me out of my bed into my chair. When I can't. They really think things are going well in the church. They must really think they're doing great work by inviting everybody in and challenging them with nothing.
Right. Packing them in, Rog.
And pack them in
like the circus.
The word stage she used explains everything.
Was that amazing?
It's a performance.
We don't allow them on the stage.
It's a performance.
Yeah.
They're coming to a show.
The big top, brother. They're at the big top. It's that's what we're dealing with, see?
Hey, Dave. We deal,
yeah.
Dave, if I can.
Good to hear you, Matt.
You're absolutely right. The gospel is the wrong gospel, and I realized this for a long time. But is what really I believe has happened in this society is that
in the church society is that we have replaced the first and greatest commandment with the second commandment. I was listening to a show where I had Democratic people calling in, and everything they mentioned was about the second commandment. Love your neighbors yourself. Never a once about loving God. If you even go back and listen to that Tom DeLay after that senator or that congressman was shot in an interview, and he says, you know, he says, this, we need to get back to God and Jesus. We need to get back to the first commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Because what we've done is we've replaced the first commandment with the second. So that means that if your friend is a homosexual, you can support that. It means that if your friend needs an abortion, you can support that because they need that. Now, in my opinion, and I believe firmly what God has shown me, is that if you truly love God, if the church was preaching the message of truly loving God, and if you truly love God, you cannot have an abortion. If you truly love God, you cannot be a homosexual. If you truly love God, you cannot mistreat your family. If you truly love God. So the key, and maybe this is one of the things that you might want to branch off with on your show here and have a couple of shows that actually has the people that are on this show start and list the things that understand how you actually love God. I went on the internet just last night and was looking up some sites that talked about, you know, how do you love God? You try it. It's a joke. It's a joke. There's nothing there. There's nothing there. Now, just to show one further, you got Roger on the show a couple weeks ago. I asked Roger, I said, could you just take a small survey for me in your youth group and see how many of your kids actually know what the first commandment is, the first and greatest commandment, not the first one of the ten, but the first and greatest that Jesus taught us and that God talked about in Deuteronomy 6. Roger, you still on there?
Yes.
You want to tell the crew what you found out? It was a small survey, I know, but just tell them what you found out.
There was no ability for them to make any comment. They didn't know it.
Stop and think about it.
Blame the Sunday school teacher.
We've got a church. We've got a church that has been talking about the wrong gospel for years, and that is what has put us in the position that we're in today, because we have replaced that first and greatest commandment about loving God with the commandment, the second commandment that says we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. But first of all, if you don't understand the first commandment and you don't understand how to love God, you cannot possibly follow the second commandment because you won't know how.
So, amen,
Matt.
Yeah.
Matt, yeah, Larry.
You know, it's really worse than replacing the first commandment with the second. It is admitting or recognizing and giving credence that the second commandment is there without understanding its relationship to the first commandment.
That's exactly right.
That's exactly right.
The second is like unto it, which from the Greek means exactly the same as.
Yeah.
So loving your neighbor is loving the Lord your God. And if we take the definition of neighbor that the world, the church tries to give us, then that makes Jesus one big fat liar, because you can't give all of your love to God and have any left over for your neighbor. So
Larry,
the
let's
only
get Jim,
those two verses are like each other is if the word neighbor means Jesus. And by golly, doesn't it? Because doesn't the word tell us in Ephesians and so forth that we're all part of the same body? So when you're loving the true church, you're loving Jesus. You're loving the body of Christ. So that makes those two commandments compatible. But if you swap the world's definition of neighbor, then you're making a liar out of Jesus.
Let's get Jim Kraft in here on the phone. Jim, go ahead. We can hear you.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Coach, I'm still washing the vomit off of my shoes, okay?
Yeah.
from what that woman said in that video or that audio you played. Listen, the reason that these preachers, these pastors and their lay people won't teach and preach this stuff in their church is because it gives them a license to send themselves.
Boy. Oh, boy.
I love you, brother. Keep it up.
Thanks, Jim. God bless you. Folks, let me finish with this, man. I kept this hour flew by.
They will lose money.
They'll lose money. Listen to what Donald Trump said, folks. This is Pat, my brain went dead on me. Buchanan wrote a commentary today, but I want you to hear this. This is what Donald Trump said the other day in his speech. This is for all of us, okay? Say what you want to about Trump. Here's what Trump said. The fundamental question of our time is whether the West has the will to survive. Do we have the confidence in our values to defend them at any cost? Do we have enough respect for our citizens to protect our borders? Do we have the desire and the courage to preserve our civilization in the face of those who would subvert it and destroy it? We can have the largest economies and the most lethal weapons anywhere on earth, but if we do not have strong families and strong values, then we will be weak and we will not survive. That's from Pastor Donald Trump, not the pastor at Life Church in Oklahoma. God bless you all. Hey, we got a mountain to climb, baby. Tighten your belt. We got some work to do. God bless you. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.